Today, again, we come to you, friends, with studies in the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 4. We have been finding that the Lord has made provision for His people in the midst of persecution, opposition, and suffering. How glad we are that our God is not only the God of all grace and the God of all comfort and the God of peace, but He is also the God of hope. And again, may I repeat it to you, that our hope is based upon the faithfulness of God. And remember that His name is faithful. He always has been faithful. He always will be faithful. And whatever test or trial you may be going through at the present time, remember that He never leaves you nor forsakes you, and that He's working out something in you and in others that might be to the praise of the glory of His grace. How wonderful it will be in that day when we stand in the presence of God. And I am sure that many of us believers will thank God more for the tests and for the trials than even for the blessings which we have received. I'm sure of this. I'm sure that the Lord is going to be magnified, especially through the tests and trials of His people, possibly more than some of the service which we may render. In fact, some of the service we render too often is not done in the Spirit of God, but is done in the energy of religious flesh. Oh, that we might see God's purpose, not only for the church at large, but for each one of us as individual believers in Christ, that He's working all things out after the counsel of His own will. He knows, He understands, He cares, even for you, even for me. Isn't it wonderful to know that? And this is in the heart of Peter, as he writes this epistle to these suffering Christians in the first century, most of whom were facing martyrdom, possibly, and some of the sufferings they would go through, sufferings which we today have absolutely no knowledge in our experience. When one thinks of the scourging and the beatings and that through which they went just because they loved the Savior. And yet there was a reward for them even here. The joy and the blessing and the presence of the Lord was so marvelous that they could sing and rejoice in the Lord as they went forth to martyrdom to their death. And my, it's wonderful to have a hope. May the Lord have mercy on those who have no hope. A life without hope, my friend, is a pretty barren life. Do you have hope today? And is your hope set upon the One who not only died for us and rose again, but One who was always faithful, even to those who may be in frailty, in weakness, and in failure? It's so easy to become discouraged in the face of opposition, in the face of those who should be our friends, and yet they oppose us in our stand for the gospel. Possibly inform us that we give too much time to the Lord, or that we are a little bit religious crazy, or too zealous for God, and that we're missing a great deal of the good things of life. My friend, you're not missing anything when you walk with Him, because we live in the life and experience eternal verities, not just some passing thing. So when we come to Peter again and take up this question of his exhortation to God's people, I trust he'll make it very, very precious and very real to you. Now we are reading from the Epistle of Peter, chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 7 down through verse 11. Here you have the exhortation to God's people to live a life of dependence upon God. He has been talking about the fact of the suffering and the opposition, and giving Christ as an example in chapter 2 as well as in chapter 3. Now we come down to verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. Please notice the end of all things is at hand. It's rather precious to notice that the apostles always lived in the continual expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. And this should be our desire, this should be our concern. And because the time of the coming of the Lord is near, we ought to live to the praise of the glory of His grace. So he said here, because of the fact that the end of all things at hand, be sober and watch unto prayer. Or if I might change the words, be of a sound mind. Keep in His word. Don't fly off on a tangent. Keep balanced. You know, I find this is so needful today. I find Christians, and I'm not questioning the fact that they're children of God, but how easy it is for them to go off on tangents, and we run after this, and we run after that, after this experience, after that experience, and oftentimes we miss our wonderful relationship and fellowship with the Savior, with the result that when tests and trials come, we're not able to stand. So be sober, and watch unto prayer. Be of a sound mind, I say. Don't fly off on some side road. May Christ be the very center, the very heart of your affection and devotion, the theme of your song, and then watch unto prayer. That means be vigilant, be alert. It's so easy to sleep, and I know what I'm talking about when I say that. And I might rationalize my condition or my experience because Peter, you remember, Peter was a very good sleeper. Peter slept on the Mount of Transfiguration. He slept in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he slept in jail. And he's going to have his head chopped off the next day. He fell asleep. I'm sure I wouldn't have done that. But it's so easy to fall asleep. It's so easy. In fact, apart from physical tiredness, but rather be on the alert. Watch unto prayer because we are surrounded by the enemies of the gospel of Christ. It's so easy to compromise. It's so easy to say, well, we've got to be wise and considerate. And we do need to be wise, and we do need to be considerate. But my friend, let us be careful that we be not pushed off on a side road and get away from that wonderful fellowship with the Savior and that walk with God. Be calm and collected in spirit. You remember in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, we are not to sleep as do others, but we are to be sober. You have the same thing in Colossians chapter 4, the second verse. What if I might give to you Ephesians 6:18, where Paul says, watching, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Don't neglect waiting upon God, and be careful to watch as a sentry on duty, lest you be caught in someone's trap or pushed off on some side doctrine which is not scriptural. Oh, the need today of being on the alert to watch unto prayer. I'm well aware of the fact that we are living, I believe, in the last days. It's what Peter says. The end of all things is at hand. And if ever I believe that the coming of the Lord was near, it's now. And how should this affect you and me? As Christians, we ought to watch lest we be found asleep when He comes. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, when I come, may you be watching, may you not be asleep. As He said, what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then when you come to verses 8 and 9, He takes up the question, the exhortation, concerning love, the need for love, not only to watch unto prayer and to be alert and to be balanced, but He said, and above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. By the way, you know, this is mentioned so often in Peter. Paul speaks of it in Thessalonians chapter 4. Peter spoke of it here in the first chapter, you remember, around verse 22, when he speaks of this question of love, the great need of love. And where love is wanting, prayer is hindered. You know, it's an amazing thing. We talk a great deal about praying, of how God answers our prayers, and how we wish God would answer our prayers, and yet we do not live a life that is glorifying to the Lord. And where there's want of love among God's people, then don't expect to find your prayers answered. If I'm genuine in my walk before God, in my life of prayer, it'll be evident by loving the brethren. The more I say I love Christ, the more I will love the people of God. And Peter here says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. A stretched out, intense, wonderful love, the one for the other. Now, you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love? I'm only a sounding brass. I'm just a tin can, that's all. And though I give my body to be burned, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, and I do not have love, genuine love, I'm nothing. Love suffereth long and is still kind. Oh, you know, if you and I were writing that, we would have said, love suffereth long and then blows up. It's so easy to go long, long and long and be forbearing one with another and be patient with each other, and all of a sudden you blow your top. You know what I mean? It seems to boil up inside of you, and then when the circumstances are right, it pops out. Now, Peter and Paul and John all speak of this one fact, the great need of fervent, real love one for the other. Love suffereth long and is still kind. Love never envies, is never puffed up, never behaves itself unseemly, never seeks her own, is never easily provoked, thinketh no evil, always rejoices in the truth. Is it love? Genuine love. This is the eternal thing. Remember that God is love. That the very energy of the nature of God toward man is love. And as Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which has been given unto us. And again, I want to say what I've said so often. I know there are Christians who are ornery. Maybe that's not a good word to use, but for some reason or other, your personalities clash. This is the time to evident real love. I'm sure of one thing. There are many of these young believers in Christ who have left the world and they've never experienced real, genuine love. They come among God's people. And they should experience among Christians real, genuine love one for the other. That patient love. That genuine, sweet love one for the other. Oh, that God might put into your heart and my heart a real, genuine love for his people. Not only for the sweet ones and the nice ones and the ones we love and they love us, but for these ornery people. Maybe that's why they're ornery, is because nobody seems to manifest any love toward them. It's so easy in church life to become cliquish. We kind of get into a little clique of some. Oh, we love certain ones and they love us, and my, we have a good time, good fellowship and everything else. But on the outside, there are those hungry for fellowship, for your fellowship. Peter here says, above all things, because the end of all things is at hand, because the coming of the Lord is near, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. And then he makes an amazing statement, because love shall cover the multitude of sins. Love covers the multitude of sins. You see, he's not talking about covering sins before God. There is only one thing that can cover sins or put away sins before God, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. As we read in 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He's talking here about the relationship of Christian to Christian. What do you mean by this? Love covers the multitude of sins. Love will not broadcast another Christian's sins. Well, in fact, we will cover them up in the sight of others. Before men, we're going to cover up the failures of Christians. You know, it's a sad thing, and I say this very kindly. It's a sad thing when Christians will run to the world and display the failures of other Christians. Do you do that? When Mrs. or Mr. So-and-so does certain things, and you tell your neighbors about these other Christians in your church or whom you know, and you display the failures of Christians before the world, if you loved them, you wouldn't do that. I repeat it, if you loved them, you wouldn't do that. Love is not going to broadcast the sins and the failures of God's people, but rather love will cover up before men the frailty and sins of believers. Now, I'm talking about a very practical thing, because it's so easy for Christians, when they see failure in another Christian, so easy to run to the telephone and tell somebody else. Isn't it? Now, Peter says, have love. If you have real, genuine love for each other, you won't do that. Love covers the multitude of sins. Love will not broadcast it. In fact, I would suggest if you find other Christians who are failing God and you think they're out of fellowship with God and they're bringing dishonor upon the Lord, don't go and tell anybody else. You get down and tell the Lord about it. That'd be the best thing to do, would it not? To get down and really tell the Lord and plead for these people. Now, I'll guarantee one thing, the more you plead for them, the more you love them. For somewhere or another, God will put into your heart a fervent love for these who are failing God. God knows why they failed. God knows their circumstances. God knows their background. God knows their weaknesses. And he still loves them. And he knows them better than you do. And if he still loves them, should not we, as the children of God, manifest this love one for the other? So I read in this verse, above all things have fervent love one for the other, and for love shall cover the multitude of sins. I want you to remember, he's talking about not before God. Only the blood of Christ can put away sin before God. Nothing short of the death of Christ can answer the sin question before God. But in our relationship, the one to the other, because the Lord is at hand, let us not publish the sins of other Christians. If you really love them, you'll pray for them. If you really love them, you'll cover them up from the outside world. Do you really love God's people? Then instead of criticizing and broadcasting their failures, just you pray for them that the Lord may be pleased to be glorified in you as well as in them. Now may the Lord take these simple practical things and make them real to your heart today for his name's sake.